Concerning my wife, but there's no question in our household who needs to change the most and first, and that's me. Amen, hon? All right. So for Christmas this year, our three kids, two in Australia, one in Mississippi now, they decided to pool their finances together and bring Dad and Mom into the 21st century. I'm talking about televisions. Now, you have to understand, we have never gotten a new TV in our life together. I mean, when we got married, we didn't have one for several years. Finally, we yielded to someone who wanted to give us their old black and white that they were about to throw out. After we'd been married a few years, I think our oldest was maybe like 4 years old or so. So we had a black and white. And then later, somebody wanted to throw out their old color, and we took that one. And I don't know, we've had two or three upgrades since then, but it's always people getting new ones, and we're getting the, not the cutting edge, I call it the trailing edge TVs. And in fact, about 3 years ago, a friend of ours, we went to Bible school with this couple. They live in Rochester. He's a minister of the gospel, and he was over at our house in the fall. Now, before he went into ministry, before he came to Elam, he had been a TV technician. His father had a TV business over in another state. And anyway, so TVs were big to him. And he came to our house, and we're having an afternoon together in the fall. And he said, "Hey, my Steelers are on this afternoon. Can I just turn on the TV and see what the score is?" I'm sure. Yeah, sure. And we sat down. He's like, "Wait, that's your TV? This is your TV? That's terrible. Jack, from now on, whenever we get together, you're coming over to our house, because I don't want to watch that ever again." And but anyway, the kids didn't just get us a new TV. They got us a 50-inch flat screen. Not just any 50-inch. It's the latest 4K smart TV technology. And there's some things we had to learn. Now, you know, in the day, you could just take one TV, disconnect the cable or two, get rid of it, bring the next one in, plug a couple things in, you're good to go, right? No, this one, the smart TV technology doesn't function unless you pair it to your smartphone. You can't use it unless you pair it to your smartphone. And it doesn't have a cable connection at all. So as it came, we couldn't watch any of the cable from Time Warner that we pay for, and we had to pair it to the smartphone in order to use the smart TV technology for live streaming. And so, okay, so we have to go online with our smartphone, download an app, SmartCast app. As soon as that downloaded, all of a sudden and paired it to the TV, all of a sudden then it starts downloading all kinds of stuff on the TV screen. We're talking 30, 40 minutes of stuff here going on. And then you have to download the Netflix app on your phone, and the YouTube app on your phone, any other apps you want to use to live stream, you got to download that. So that took time. And like I said, we couldn't use the cable till the next business day. I called Time Warner and said, what do you do when this happens? And I had asked some friends, and they're like, "Well, I don't know. I've never seen that before." But anyway, so I called Time Warner. And they're like, "No, you got to get a new TV, a cable TV box from us. And it's free from us for the first 12 months. And then and then you have to get an HDMI cable to go from that box to the smart TV." So okay, I went over and stand in line, finally get up to my turn, and they do a sales pitch on why I don't get 200 more channels on my plan, and why we don't get our phone transitioned over to Time Warner and all this kind of stuff, or our internet, everything. Listen to all that garbage, and finally we get things. So there's a couple more hours have gone by now, just going to Batavia, taking care of this, getting back, hook up the box. Then I have to call Time Warner from home, and they have to send a remote signal from their headquarters to the cable box in my house to activate it, and then it has to boot up, which takes about 20 minutes or so. After it boots up, all the channels are all pink. the screen's all pink. Now, the TV was beautiful when we live streamed, but it was just every channel was pink. So I called them up and I said, I think we have a problem here. And they're like, oh, well, there's some technicians working in your neighborhood today to fix a problem in your neighborhood. There's an outage. I'm sure when they're done, it'll be taken care of. Now, I was skeptical, but what do I know? I live in the last century, and they may be right, but day passed, 2 days passed, still got pink TV. So I call them back again, and they said, here's what we're going to do. They work through some things, tech support, and it takes a while to get an actual person, you know. It takes a while. So I get an actual person finally, and here's what we're going to do, and they start coaching me through some different things to try. Doesn't work, still pink TV, and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hang up, and then I'm going to send a remote signal to that box again. We're going to reboot it. We're going to start over, and I'm sure that'll take care of it. If it doesn't take care of it, call me back. I was skeptical again, but still, I'm in the last century, right? So didn't change. Still got pink TV. So I called them back, and they're like, well, we're going to have to send a technician out to your house. By the way, you'll have to be there between the hours of 8 and 5. That happens to be my study day, and I had. By the way, did I tell you I have nothing else to do but get this TV set up? I mean, it's a very generous gift by my kids. Don't get me. This is very kind. But I have nothing else to do. So anyway, but sit around, wait for this technician. He comes on my study day. Finally comes, and he spends about an hour and a half checking all kinds of things out, putting a new box in, a new cable, all this stuff. Finally, he says, "You know, Mr. Hempfling, I hate to give you the bad news, but the problem is the TV is no good. The HDMI ports that the cable goes into are all bad. So you're going to have to exchange it." So, Friday night, we undo the feet, the cables and everything on the TV, take the bolts out of the feet, put everything back in, you know, the cables, the feet, the bolts in the plastic bag. Thankfully, I saved the box for the TV, put the TV back in the box. We haul the 50-inch flat-screen TV back to Henrietta. Friday night, this last Friday night, haul it back there. And the guy listens to the story, no problem, we can exchange it. He said, so is everything in the bag? The cables, the bolts, the feet, the remote control. Sandy, did you remember the remote control? Well, I'm sorry, sir, we can't take this exchange without everything in it, so we need the remote control. So, okay, it's 7 o'clock in the evening. You know what? We can get back to Leroy and back here by 9. We'll come right back with the... No, I'm sorry. You can't leave the TV here. You can't leave it here. You'll have to, either... He said, I'll get somebody to help carry it out to your car so you can drive back to Leroy and come back and bring it back in. And I said, no, wait. One of us will go to Leroy and get the remote, and I'll stay and babysit the TV for an hour. Now, I'm telling you all this, trust me, I'm going somewhere. But I was reminded of the book of Daniel, where it says that near the end times, knowledge will increase, but people will be running to and fro. I wasn't trying to even be funny right then. Does that describe our culture at all? Knowledge has increased incredibly. Technology has increased. But people are running to and fro. I've got to work harder to get more, to buy more, to do more stuff. There's all this competition to develop the latest technology, because God forbid you be a company that some other company comes up with a more cutting-edge technology than you, and they take all the share of the business, so you got to keep working at it. But don't think for a minute that any of this technology is simplifying our life. We've all perhaps dealt with the issue of Windows 10, if you have a computer, forcing its download on your computers this last year, And that happened to our projection computer back here. And lo and behold, the perfectly good computer and the perfectly good software that oversees the projection here, they were incompatible with the new Windows 10. So we had to We had to upgrade the Media Shout software. Tim's pulling his hair out back. He's as techy a guy as I get, but you just couldn't make it function. So we had to get the upgraded software, pay for the upgraded software because of a upgrade to the computer that we didn't ask for. So we pay for that. Well, then the combination of the Windows 10 upgrade and the Media Shout upgrade is too much for the computer, and they won't work at all. So guess what? We had to buy a new computer. Thank you for your offerings, by the way, so we could buy a new computer. My Bible software, same thing happened. Windows 10 downloaded. The software I use every day in my study to read, prepare messages and all that, suddenly it's incompatible with the new Windows 10. So I have to pay for the upgrade to the Bible software. And when I call them, they're like, no, it won't work. You'll have to get the upgrade. But Pastor, you're going to have a bajillion new books on your software. Resources. Look, I don't need a bajillion new books. I won't read a bajillion new books. I won't read thousands of other people's sermons. I won't do it. I just need this and this and this. But by the way, those simple things that I used every day, instead of one or two clicks, it's like five or six clicks a piece to get them. I'm like, this is supposed to be better technology, but it's not more simple. It's not more simple. Romans says that seeking to become wise, they became fools. You know, knowledge is increasing, but people are running to and fro. And so, but I'm waiting at Best Buy, sitting on a bench, babysitting a television. And so during that hour, I pulled out my smartphone with the Bible on it. And I opened it up and I started reading. I've been reading in Isaiah lately. I got to chapter, I opened up, and the next chapter was Isaiah 55. I'm feeling like, you know, by the way, did I tell you I had nothing else to do the last couple of weeks before, you know, I didn't have other things I could have been doing instead of this, but no, this was fine. For this new technology to come into the 21st century, I needed all that time to spend on the television getting, I guess. But I opened it up, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And immediately, God has my attention. It reminded me of Jesus in John chapter 7 when he said on the last day, that great day of the feast, he stood up and cried out. If anyone thirsts, he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. But anyway, back to Isaiah 55. Come to the waters, everyone who thirsts, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what's not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? You won't need money to buy what satisfies your soul, God is saying. You won't need it. It's free and it's by faith. You put your faith in me and the things that will satisfy your soul and heart are free. You won't, but you got to come to me. I've been so scattered with stuff. My brain's been on all this stuff. I mean, we can't turn on the news anymore. And I mean, I don't need a lot of television. I've never needed. That's why we have never bought a new one in our life. It's just not been a big priority to Sandy and I. You know, if I can get a little bit of news now and then, an occasional movie, and watch Ohio State beat Michigan, I'm good. But I felt like spiritually my tongue was dragging. Because of a bunch of stuff. Because a bunch of things they have to do, running to and fro. And yet I open up the word and it's like, come, listen carefully to me. Eat what's good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. You want to be delighted down in the depths of your heart. Come to Jesus. Listen to him. eat what's good. Listen to his voice. His word isn't just letters on a page. His word is living. The written word is living, but he also speaks by the Spirit. Listen for his voice. Quiet your soul from the stuff. And listen. Verse 3, incline your ear. There it is again. Incline your ear. That takes an intentionality. You don't. It's not just picking out a voice amongst a bunch of noise. Incline your ear means I'm focusing. If I'm going to incline my ear to Matt there, I'm going to focus on him. I can hear a bunch of noise, but if I want to listen to him, I've got to incline my ear. If I want to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, I've got to incline my ear to him. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul will live. Can I just be honest with you? I just felt like my soul been dying for a while. Just running to and fro with busyness. Not business, busyness. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. You want to know why we set 21 days aside in 2017? And encourage you to incline your ear. This is why. I can't think of a scripture that could have jumped off the page and hit me any harder than this one. You want to know why it's good to quiet your soul? Because it says that God has entered a covenant. He said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. God is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. He says, I made promises to you. Listen for them. Listen to my voice. I want to talk to you. By the way, God is speaking all the time. I know the world thinks it's humorous that someone would say, the Lord showed me something, or the Lord spoke something, and they think, oh yeah, God talks to you, huh? Well, you're a weirdo. You know what? God's speaking all the time. He's speaking through his creation. He's speaking by his word. He's speaking by his Spirit. But he's talking. He's constantly reaching out. He's made innumerable promises in his word. And this January, starting this day, I can't encourage it enough to hear the words of the prophet Isaiah declaring the word of the Lord. Come to me, all you who thirst. And this wasn't just a calm invitation. He was crying out, because there's a big exclamation mark in my Bible that says, ho, all, everyone who thirsts, come to me. Verse 4. Indeed, I've given him as a witness to the people, a leader, a commander for the people, speaking now prophetically about Christ. He is a leader. He's worthy. He's Lord. He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy to incline our ear to. We need him to be our leader daily. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. He's talking about what happens when our soul comes alive, when we connect to him, when we incline, when we listen to his voice, when we let him wash our minds with the truth, with his word. When we do that, he's saying some things start to happen. People start noticing there's something different about you. The Pharisees in the book of Acts, they brought some of the disciples before him to punish them, to threaten them, to get them to stop preaching. When they saw the boldness with which Peter and John spoke, it says the Pharisees noticed that surely they have been with Jesus. There was something, they noticed there's something different about these two guys. They've evidently been with Jesus. I remember when Doug, a man, started sharing his faith in Christ with me when I was 22. And I remember saying to one of my coworkers, I mean, I was arrogant and I blew him off. I didn't want to listen to Doug. I didn't want to hear it. But I remember saying to one of my coworkers, you know, I've been to church my whole life. But that guy's got something I don't have. Now, I wouldn't say that to Doug at the time. I didn't. But I said it to someone else. I was noticing there's something different about him. What was it about? It was different about him. He was walking with Jesus. He had a connection to him. People will be drawn to it. Even if, like for me, initially I was turned away, but eventually God used Doug to bring me to the Lord. You become a person of his presence when you come to him. When you drink of that water that satisfies the soul, you become a person of his presence. There's something different about you. You make a difference, is what Isaiah is writing. When you become a person of his presence, the things that you hear on CNN won't trouble. Why aren't you fretting over the things that I just saw on Fox News? Why aren't you fretting about the things that analyst just said on CNN? Why aren't you fretting about the things Rush Limbaugh is talking about? Because you know what? I'm inclining my ear to a different voice. I want to keep up on the world events too, but when you're not fretful. I remember a time they were threatening layoffs at the state when I worked for the state. And one of the managers said, "Why aren't you worried about it? Why aren't you worried about this?" I said, "You know what? My life's in the Lord's hands." "Yeah, you and the governor, that's whose hands your life is in. That's, you know." But he noticed there's something. Why aren't you fretful? That's all we're talking about. Everybody in our agency was talking about possible layoffs. Who they're going to get? Who they're going to lay off? Who they're going to get rid of? I think they should get rid of that job position. We don't need those guys. And they're saying we should get rid of those guys. They don't need those guys. Everybody's talking that way. Why aren't you worried about anything? My life's not in my own hands. Seek the Lord, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Do you know that he's near right now? He's near. Call upon him now while he can be found. I'm telling you, there's some breakthroughs that you're on the verge of. Our church is on the verge of. There's breakthroughs that are near. It's not a time to pull back. It's not a time to be discouraged. It's a time to press forward. It's a time to move ahead. It's a time to pray with greater enthusiasm and expectancy because he's near. I'm going to move ahead to verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't it great that when our thoughts can get so small or so petty, or our prayers can get so little, so small, or so selfish, that we can spend time with God and his thoughts are so much higher. If we'll listen to him, listen to his words and his promises, we'll find out, wait, his thoughts aren't little. His thoughts aren't little. His vision isn't small. His motive for everything he does is love. I don't need to be selfish. I don't need to worry about myself. He promises to take care of me. There's all this new perspective comes in when we incline our ear to him, when we listen to him, when we come to the waters that are the words of God. And those, they're not just, it's not just words on a page that are supposed to give us positive vibes so we'll be happier. It's the truth. And it's living. It's powerful. It's active. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. His words will accomplish what he sent them to do if we listen. if you don't know where to start in his word, Isaiah is a great book. The Psalms are phenomenal, full of promises, just innumerable promises come bubbling out of the book of Psalms. Spend time in them. Soak them up. Gospel of John's an awesome place. If you don't know where to spend the next 21 days, I'll just make some suggestions. There's a couple of them. Psalms, John are great. Verse 12 and 13, closing out that chapter of Isaiah. For you shall go out with joy, be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. And instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. I want to tell you, when we take 21 days in the beginning of a year, or make any intentional move to press closer to God, to seek after him, there are some dry places in your life that you'll find life starting to spring up in. There's living water that starts to flow from your life. Not only for your own benefit, for the benefit of others, to kind of splash around. Listen to some promises of Jesus about thirst. Thirst is so important. He said, come to me, all you who thirst. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be satisfied. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. In John chapter 4, Jesus answered the woman at the well. He said to her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I'll give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. And John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. This chapter, Isaiah 55, gives a whole motivation. And I didn't even know what I was about to read as I sat there with that pink screened 50-inch 4K HD TV. I just opened up the Bible. This was the next chapter. And everything I've been preparing all week for a sermon, I threw out the window. And I said, this is why we do this. This is why we do this. It's why we pull away. For some, it might be pulling away from eating habits and just kind of jolting your body to say, I just want to let you know who's in charge here and you're not running my life. For some, it might be pulling away from the internet or pulling away from some TV or whatever, perhaps, whatever it might be for you. Whatever clouds your soul, pulling away from some activity to give yourself some more time to incline our ear, focus, and listen. And just a few pages later, Isaiah's words turn to these. In chapter 58, is this not a fast I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to the house of the poor all who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? He said, this is the kind of fast I'm choosing. Not to put on a big show about how holy you are. It's to see, when you add fasting to prayer, to see bonds broken, breakthroughs happen. Then your light will break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, and you'll call, and the Lord will answer. You need a shot in your prayer life. He says, if you're fasting with this kind of heart, you'll call on me, I'll answer. You'll cry, and he'll say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from the midst, pointing the finger, speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. Your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you. You need guidance? The Lord will guide you continually. And he'll satisfy your soul in drought. He'll strengthen your bones. You'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You're going to see generations impacted after you when this is a routine part of your relationship with God. You'll raise up the foundation of many generations. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. There's a book on prayer and fasting that I actually copied a chart out of, and you have it in your bulletin. And he took this passage and he listed 12 specific benefits to the fast that God has chosen from Isaiah 58. And that's what you have in your bulletin. That's not a chart I made up. It's one that was taken from this book on prayer and fasting. And I thought perhaps it would just be a tool to help you take a look at that. It's in your bulletin insert. It's an insert. And as he lists those, one of them is Revelation. Do you want to hear from him in a fresh way? Do you want to hear his voice? You can check it off. Do I experience that in my daily walk? Is it something I experience sometimes, but I desire more? Is it something I never experience and I need it desperately? And you can go down through these lists, healing and wholeness. Is there a health issue? Are you walking in divine health? You're feeling like, no, I need it. I need a greater level of health and healing in my life. I need it desperately. Righteousness. Are there areas I don't feel like I have victory? The same sin patterns I'm just getting beaten up by again and again. You need a breakthrough in that. You need a desperate breakthrough. Check off that box. But this is just to help you go down through some of the potential benefits of fasting and say, here's the things that I want to focus on because I need these desperately. There's one, by the way, that he calls the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. What that Shekinah is a word. It's just all he's saying is I want to be a carrier of the presence of God in a way that people notice it. When the Shekinah glory of God, that's a Hebrew word, when it happened in the Old Testament, people could see and sense his presence. I want a greater sense of his presence in my life. I've experienced it sometime. I want it more. Wherever you're at. So that's what that's about. Guidance. Contentment. Do you have peace? I just need a season of refreshing. That's what I got Friday night, sitting with a television set. I got a season of refreshing right there. You want to pray for the generations after you, your children, your grandchildren. You want to see God's hand of blessing on them? So that chart there is just as an insert to say what are you promises are you believing for from God in 2017? Guidance, revelation, a work that endures beyond you, answered prayer. There's so many promises in the Word that we can stand on. Oh, come, everyone who thirsts, come to me and drink. Incline your ear. We want to get our thoughts in line with this big thinking God. Big thinking God. We want to pray for our nation like big thinking people. We want to pray for our family like big thinking people. Like people that believe a miracle working God. We want to pray for Living Waters, for the Hope Center ministry, for the building that's going to be called a Hope Center. We want to pray for that like big thinking people because we have a big thinking God. There was a woman in World War II. Story goes, this is from London when the Nazis were bombing London nightly. In the daytime, people would come out and they'd clear out debris and they'd evaluate what was going on. They might have to do some repairs or whatever. In the nighttime, everybody was going to the air raid shelters. And then they noticed one night that this one elderly lady that had been coming to the air raid shelter every night, she didn't show up. And she didn't show up the next night. And she didn't show up the next night. And they're starting to worry. They're like, wonder what could have happened to her. As you know, there's a whole bunch of people would come to the shelter, but this one lady had stopped coming. Maybe she's been injured. Where did anybody know where she lives? Maybe she's been killed in one of these bombs. We don't know. Maybe she left London and is staying with some relatives out in the country somewhere just to get away from it all. Who knows? But then a few days later, one of the neighbors ran into her outside on the streets. And they said, "Oh, thank God you're okay. We're glad you're back." And she said, "Back? I didn't go anywhere." "Well, where have you been? You haven't been to the shelter at night." And she said, "Oh, well, I was sleeping. I've been sleeping at night." Sleeping? How can you sleep through this? She said, "Well, I was reading Psalm 121 the other day. And it said, God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And I figured that both of us don't need to stay awake." And I suppose that's true. If Isaiah also wrote that surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, Isaiah 53. I guess if he's carried our grief and sorrows, then we both don't have to carry them. I'm not making light of loss. It's a real thing. It says in verse 5 of Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I guess if he was wounded and bruised for my sins and my iniquities and my transgressions, I guess I don't have to carry guilt. I guess we don't have to carry guilt. We both don't have to carry it. He carried it. I don't have to. Right? Is this logical spiritually? Says the chastisement for our peace was upon him. I guess if he was chastised for my worry and my anguish, then I guess we both don't have to carry that. I guess he's got that. By his stripes we're healed. I guess if he took those stripes for my sickness and disease, I guess we don't both have to carry that. Oh, but Pastor Joe, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so that didn't get well? What about this and that? What about that situation? You know, Satan's a thief. Those are Jesus' words. There's a pastor in California named Bill Johnson. He brought out how one time even John the Baptist got offended. He got deeply offended, evidently, by the actions that are described in the Gospels. John the Baptist. Now, John had seen 3 years earlier, he'd seen the Spirit of God descend like a dove on Jesus to confirm to him that this was the Messiah. This is the Christ that the Jews have been waiting for centuries. This is the one. He had seen a vision of this dove coming down. He's the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He said it. He knew it in his heart. But 3 years later, he got discouraged and he got offended. Why? Because it said of Jesus that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to set the captives free. And where was John? He was captive in a prison. And he wasn't getting free. And he wasn't getting free. And he wasn't getting free. So finally, he sends messengers to Jesus and says, "Hey, are you the one?" Ask Jesus, "Are you the one we should be looking for? Or is there someone else coming?" What happened? His eyes got off of what Jesus had done. His eyes got off of what Jesus was doing. And his eyes got on the one thing that didn't happen. And Jesus said, in answering the messenger, he said, tell John this. Say, tell him that the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, the dead are raised to life, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Tell him what I am doing. And he'll come out of his offense. He'll come out of his disappointment. We come out of our disappointment. This is so critical. to get this down in our heart. We can get offended at God if we focus on what he hasn't done the way we thought he should do. But when we focus on what he is doing, we focus on what he has done, there's a joy that'll rule and reign in our hearts. And the truth is, there is stuff happening. There's good things happening here. There are people whose lives are being changed here. The poor are having the gospel preached to them. But even while all these good things are happening in our busyness, in our distraction with stuff, like smart TVs, how do you correct pink screens? How do we get cable into this new thing? How do we get our computer back up to where? You know, well, I got to make sure I have enough gifts bought so that I don't offend somebody at Christmas time. In all of the busyness, we miss the focus on what God is doing, what he wants to do. And having more knowledge, we're running to and fro, seeking to become wise, the world's becoming foolish. We're missing out on relationships. Get a few people together in a waiting area, waiting for a meeting, waiting for the boss to come out and bring into a meeting, and what are they doing? Are they talking to each other? No. All three of them are sitting here like this. Nobody says, "Hey, how have you been?" Or, "Hey, my name's Jack. What's yours? Where are you from?" Or, "Hey, I heard about your daughter in the hospital. How's she doing?" You see, this is the stuff that builds relationship. But no. Don't tell me that technology's made our life simpler. Some ways. Of course, there's things we love about it. But we got to be intentional to stay focused. Incline our ears to the Lord. Let's stand. Lord, we want to, let's pray. Lord, we want to hear from you in this season. We want to have a fresh baptism in your spirit. We want a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Come on. If that's you, just lift up your hands. I want a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. God, I want to hear your voice again. I want to hear your voice consistently. I want to be in a place where my ears can pick out your voice among the many voices. Lord, I want to set time aside. This month, this first month of this year, God, I put you first. Lord, I want more of you. I want more love for you, and I want you to fill me with more love for other people. Lord, help us. Help us. We want to come to you and drink of the water that truly satisfies. The presence of Jesus, the words of Jesus. Open up your word, I pray, to us. By the way, you want to increase your spiritual thirst. If you're feeling like I'm kind of dry and I'm not even thirsty for more, the best way to stir up your thirst is to take a drink. Take a drink, and you'll want more. Look for him. I want to charge you right now before God, charge you to look for him. Look for what he's doing. Holy Spirit, show us what you're doing and saying day in and day out. I charge you before God to be intentional, to make room for him in your time, in your energy. in your focus. And I charge you before God to praise him, to lift him up, to praise him for what he's doing, what he's done. Because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. And the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. As you focus on him and his incredible qualities and praise him, you'll sense that presence come fill in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you expectant for 2017? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise and thanks for his word. God bless you. Altar ministry teams, come on up and make yourself available if you would. These folks would love to pray with you about anything that's concerning you. Don't carry any burdens out with you that you came in carrying. Let them just pray with you and lift them off. You're free to stay as long as you like in fellowship with one another. God bless you. Thursday night, prayer meeting here. Tuesday morning, ladies, prayer meeting here. Next Sunday, same channel.